So, Rabbeisa, we are actually coming to the conclusion of the long list of Cheshbonos and Nefesh. Last week we did number 30. And the Chovos Levavos, last week also we learned the wonderful mashal he gave, how the Neshama is an absolute reflection of what's going on in Shemayim. Mashal to a person who wants to know what's happening, he knows in his attic there's a gorgeous picture, but there's no staircase to the attic. All there is there's a little opening. So how does he never see this picture, which is standing upright, but he can't see it from his vantage point? The answer is he takes a long piece of metal, and he polishes it very finely till mirror quality, and he puts it up through that opening in the attic, and there's a reflection of the beautiful picture in that polished mirror. And then he sees it down on his vantage point. So too, the greatest bliss is to know what is happening in Shemayim, because that is the real world, and that is the source of everything that happens in our lives. And that's really what everyone should want to know. Number one, what the Ratzon Hashem is. We should daven every day that we should be zeichet to know what Hashem's Ratzon for us specifically today is, and we should do exactly what Hashem wants us to do today, and we shouldn't go against it. And Bechlal, if you want to know what's going on in Shemayim, that is the ultimate knowledge. That's where it all happens. So, how is it possible to know? There's a mechitza, there's this ceiling. That's the attic, and we're down here. There's no staircase. I'm alive as long as I have the ceiling is really our bodies. And it puts a limit on our ability to know what's happening in Shemayim. The answer, says the Chavos Levavos so beautifully, is that if we polish on the Shemes, our neshamas will be a reflection of everything that goes on in Shemayim, and will mamish b'zayich to the vibali ruach hakodesh. And really, every neshama has the ability to reflect what's happening in Shemayim, just as covered up with filth of bad midas and bad desires and bad deyas and bad thoughts and bad hanhoges. And if we polish our act, literally, he says, then no problem. Every our neshama naturally will reflect what's happening in heaven. I'll be zeichet to live a life according to the will of Hashem, as Hashem meant us to be. That's what he ended off with last week. Now he has one last question here, which is mamish wrapping up the sefer, and he says, he asks here in Perek Hey, how much? We just finished this whole Shar Cheshbon Nefesh. It took us a year. If we started right after the Yom Neroyim, and he says, if a person will ask, how much of an obligation is there for a person to make Cheshbon Nefesh? Should we do Cheshbon Nefesh maybe once a lifetime? We learned Parashat Cheshbon Nefesh, we finished it, it's over. Maybe Cheshbon Nefesh is once a week on Sunday mornings. How often do you have to do Cheshbon Nefesh? How often do you have to take stock of our lives? Where are we coming from? Where are we going? Where are we? You know, this weekend, a lot of tzaras this week. I mean, shouldn't have any worse tzaras, believe me. And suddenly I see in one of my bathrooms downstairs, it's the only one I have there actually, and I see there's a leak, and I don't know where it's coming from, so I call the plumber, and the plumber is baffled, can't figure it out. They've had leaks before, but this time he can't figure it out. And so, Rabbi, sorry, so he rips apart the whole bathroom. I mean, it's really a little bit, you see, your whole house being ripped apart. Sorry, can't find any pipes over here. So he goes upstairs, rips apart another bathroom. Oh my goodness. You see, like you feel like your whole, your house is being violated, but literally, you know, ripping down sheetrock, busting, I mean, I had no choice. So he was very, very fine person, very, very good, couldn't find it. He's about to rip apart a third bathroom, and then the kitchen, I mean, it's like no end, this leak doesn't. So another fellow came, let things dry out a little bit, see what's happening, things calm down. Dust settles, came a day later after things, and finally at the great effort, he found deep in the wall, I don't know how he found deep in the wall, and he showed me it was a joint, it was there from day one, and it got slightly corroded, it's a copper joint, copper pipe, it's there from the house was built, it's not even a hole, I don't know how the guy found it, it's not even a hole, it's just it's corroded so that the metal is somewhat thin, and the water pressure makes it like spritz out in the mist, and this causes a tremendous leak. It looks very insignificant. It's not even a hole. He said, if you just put water through it, it won't even leak. It will just put water. I said, I want to just test it out. No, it's not going to help you. It's only when it's under the regular water pressure of the house, 50, 60, or whatever pounds of water pressure, that would make the fineness, and that created your whole leak. I said, Gewalt, one little leak is such a tiny little leak, made so much damage. I mean, the whole bathroom downstairs was soaked, it was sopping. And because of this leak, it defined it, I had mom rip apart two bathrooms, and it was like to find it, it wasn't so simple to find it. And one of the ways they find these things, the leaks in Jasanta, they find also if there's a leak or maybe something else, maybe it's in the air conditioning system, which is a different source. If they look at the water meter, if the whole house, all the water is shut off, and there's still motion in the water meter, you know there's a leak in Jasanta. And he was mamash medak, the way he's looking at the water meter, like in the slightest budge, you know you got a leak. Even the slightest bit of a leak will show up on your water meter. And he's crawling, my water meter is not simple to get, you have to crawl in the underpass and go there and look at it with a flashlight. So Rabbi Shlomo, for one itty bitty leak in my water system, which caused so much damage, I had to work so hard to find the leak. Can you imagine? I said to myself, we all have a leak in our neshama. We're stuffing ourselves with Torah and mitzvahs and davening and good things and tzedakah and chesed. But if there's a leak, if there's a bad midah, if there's a bad midah, there's something wrong with us, there's a leak, and the leak is going to wreak havoc on our entire being. And it could be such an infinitesimal leak, such a mist, a little, a mashu, it's microscopic, really, it's mamish microscopic, and that can cause such damage. Can you imagine if it's a real big gash? So we all think that we're Titanic, you know, we all think we're the Titanic. It will never sink. Can't go down. Unsinkable Titanic. We all think we're Titanic. And we have watertight compartments. Rabbi, I know I'm not perfect, Rabbi. I know I have big gash. I'm a Titanic. I have waterproof compartments. I can contain the leak. I can hold it down, it's not so bad. No. It's gefährlich. Mamash, cheshvan nefesh, so zokte, chavzov is cheshvan nefesh. You want to know when to make cheshvan nefesh? You have to make cheshvan nefesh every single day of your life. Not every single day of your life. Every minute of your life. Bechol shniyah v'shniyah, and bechol neshima neshima. If you had time, you should sit back and mamash meditate on every breath. Because in order to have, the only way that you can keep yourself gesund, the only way to have a healthy, sturdy personality, which can withstand all of the attacks of the Eitzahara, and all of the natural deterioration of life, it requires a constant chizuk, and only with tremendous Yerushamayim, and fear of Hashem, and shame, humiliation to be in the presence of Hashem, and go against His will. Shame to be mamish for Hashem, to be embarrassed. Hashem is watching. I ate His food and I didn't make a bracha. There's a bracha. I didn't just zip through it. Embarrassed. I just gave a shilas night to what's important. It's a tefillah. I daven ma'ariv. I said last night with lasting with Hashem and Arash. Go the first bracha at least and shema with kavanas. What did I do? No kavana my shema. Look up under my mire. If it's only after I finish, must say, hey, you know what? I just blew it again. That's it. Another one bites the dust. Another shema without the kavana. Another shmonesi without kavana. I just spoke about it. I just said fiery words about it a minute before mire about the importance of it. At least the first bracha shmonesi and shema. But such is our perverse nature. We have such perverse nature that I close my mouth. And my brain starts thinking about everything else in the world, and it's a big garbage can full of who knows what kind of, the whole world dumps their garbage into my brain, and I foolishly accept it all, and the whole day we think about everything in the world, and so how much you have to have cheshbon nefesh? Constantly. Every breath has to be a cheshbon nefesh, every single breath is always on the alert, forever vigilant, forever mobilized, always alert.
That especially pops up that
we
wouldn't think about it in anything else.
That's all the Yetzer Hara. Well, anything you want to call it, it's the bad part of our nature that's constantly undermining us and pushing big leaks into ourselves. And therefore he says, very appropriately, yesterday in the parasha we read, by the Melech Yisrael, but we learned before Mincha, the Rambam, that his lave called Yisrael, he has to be guard his heart for leaks more than anybody else in the world, because his heart is the heart of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, by the Melech Yisrael, it says the Kosav Loi, as Mishnah at Torah Azoy, Sal Sefer, he has to write the whole Torah in a Sefer. V'hoi se'imoi v'kora v'kol
Yemei Chayav, the king, because he has to be even more careful than the regular Jew to watch his heart, which is so sensitive and so critical for the nation, that he has to have a Torah with him all the time. So he's constantly, the Torah is open, and he's learning all the time what he has to do to keep himself in repair. And Hashem says to Yeshua, Lo yomesh sefer ha-Torah zemipicha, v'agisa v'yomah v'layla, the Torah should not depart from your mouth for a moment. You should, Hagisi should be, your mind should be preoccupied with it. Your mind should be absorbed in the Torah, focused on the Torah day and night. As we say in Shema, V'ayu ad-varim ha'ilah sh'anoichim etzaf ha'yom ha'vavecha, v'shinatnum l'manecha v'dibarta bom, v'shivtecha v'veisecha v'lechtecha v'aderech v'shavcha kumecha. Sound familiar? Ukshartam v'yoyisa yodecha v'yototachoyis b'ninecha uksavtam ma'muzuzois v'isecha v'isharecha. Sounds familiar. We say this a few times a day. Who pays attention? He's Bartavam. You have to speak about the Divrei Torah whenever you go, when you're sitting, when you're standing, when you're walking, when you're sleeping, when you're standing, wherever you go, when you tie your tefillin, you have your mezuzah, Hashem, you remember all the time, Zachartam, Zachartam, Zachartam. We forget so easily. We forget. You're the biggest Zakar in the world, we forget. I'll tell you all the time, the Vort from the Rebbe Melech, it's all, people, I'm going to forget my learning. That's people afraid of. I shouldn't forget my learning. I shouldn't forget my brain. I shouldn't forget people's names. I shouldn't forget all these figures I need for my business. Don't worry about that. So I'm forgetting it. What's the school of Zikaron? So Melech said what? He said, do tshuva. What does tshuva have to do with, is that a memory? Is it a memory device? That's some kind of a memory exercise, tshuva? No! But it says, ain't shikha, it says, g'dayla tshuva shemagas at kisei hakavod. Tshuva is so great that goes all the way to the kisei hakavod. And it says in the piyut of Rosh Hashanah, in the nusach ha-tfilah, vein shikha, and the zechroinus actually, vein shikha lefnei kisei kvoidecha. There's no forgetfulness in front of Hashem's kisei hakavod. So if we do tshuva, which goes to the kisei hakavod, and by the kisei hakavod there's no shikha, so then you won't forget. Which means to say that the reason why we forget everything that we think we'd like to remember is because we're forgetting dhikr. Dhikr is that there's a kisei kvodecha. Dhikr is that the Rabbanu Shlomo is in Shamayim, and the Shama comes from the kisei hakavod. That's who we are. And the Shama is mekisei hakavod chutzava. The Shama is hewn and sculpted and taken out of the kisei hakavod of Hashem. That's where we come from, that's where we belong, that's who we are. We are in the Shama, not a body. And we remember every second who we are and what we really are. And the minute we forget that, then we start forgetting a lot of other things, because we're forgetting our mission in life. And the only reason why Hashem gives us a memory is to remember our main mission. And we remember our main mission, Hashem gives us a memory for all the auxiliary pieces of knowledge we have to know to fulfill our main mission. But once we are forgetful of our main mission, our essence, then what do you have to remember anything else for? Why should I remember names? The only reason you remember a person's name is that you should know to do chesed to them, because that's your main purpose, your neshama, whatever. But if you're forgetting your main purpose, what do you need to remember? You're going to forget your names, you're going to forget addresses, you're going to forget Torah. What do you need Torah for? You have to remember this mesechta b'al peh. Who needs this mesechta? God wants us to have Yerushamayim. So if you remember Yerushamayim, and remember to do tshuva, and remember that pachas for the Rabbanu Shalom, and remember that we come from the kisei hakavod, and we have to get in the cheshbon, so then you can learn shas also, because that's part of the package. That's part of the whole package. But if you forget the ikir, you have nothing. So zok do tshuva, says Rebbeinu. And ain shikha lefnei kisei kvodecha. If pashup shat, of course, means Hashem doesn't forget, but it means his godless was to see in that, it means that we won't forget either. If we remember Hashem, and Hashem doesn't forget, then we won't forget either. We'll be part of Hashem, because that's what we are. That Hashem is a chelik of al-kam yimau. So, v'kitzim, v'davton cheshman, nefer, ayid av lev mit cheshman. Ayid av lev mit cheshman. Does the yisoyit na yid. Alken yam ra moishlim bayu cheshman. Alken yam ra moishlim b'yitzram. If you want to be moishlim the yitzara, you have to have a cheshman all the time. What's going on over here? Is a word that is aveira. Schar mitzvah k'negav seder. Schar aveira k'negat hefseda. Think what you're gaining by the very thing what you're losing. Think what you're gaining from it's what you're losing. So he says, Alech alis ragel. Ochi, my dear brother, Alech alis ragel. You have to train yourself to make a cheshbon nefesh b'chol shav, b'chol rega, all the time. You have to have a cheshbon, oh God, we have a lot of debts. And you know, some people can live very well with their debts. I know a lot of people that have no problem living with loaning people money and forgetting about their debts. But nice, but you're all nice Erlicha people. I know I can't live with a debt. I have very few mindless, but one thing, I can't live with a debt. If I owe someone money, I just can't live. It's very hard. Can't live. I gotta pay this debt up. It's gotta be done. It just cannot be tolerated. Even if it's a kleinekite, only a few dollars I borrowed and needed something. So, if madach, we have debt to people, we want to make sure to pay them as quickly as possible. That's the norm. A person should want to be out of debt. So we're so indebted to the Rabbeinu Shalom, we have to have a cheshbon ha-nefesh alamol, what we owe the Rabbeinu Shalom. And we owe him, it's impossible. All that void will do our whole lifetime, all the Torah will do, all the ches, all the tzedakah will give millions of dollars, will not pay the Rabbeinu Shalom back for the value of one breath of life. Because, you realize, he says, you know, with the Rabbeinu Shalom B'chlai is very careful. Don't underestimate one mitzvah, even though it's a small thing, what it means. So if someone helped this gentleman here, this blind fellow, I'm sorry, he left already. I went upstairs, I was going to take care of him. I just, see, mitzvah, I almost lost it. So don't underestimate helping a person. Who knows what kind of a gewaltig mitzvah this is. So maybe even just one word to somebody, a little chizuk, maybe even just looking at somebody, giving them a smile. You never know, you smile at somebody, give them a nice good morning. You don't underestimate giving a nice smile. You give someone a nice, you give them a wink, saying hello to him, make him feel you have some kind of a kesher with him. Don't underestimate even the you just looked at him. It might be small by you, but it's very big by the Rabbeinu Shalom. But then again, he says, the same thing applies to Averis. Don't let any Avera be, you know, how much does Norris be there? It was really a good day today. Mom, I really knocked it down. Rabbi, I'm down to 12 minutes a day. I'm beating the habit. I used to be a 5-pack smoker of Lashon Hara, 5 packs a day. I'm down to a few drags. 12 minutes this day. I only 12 minutes Lashon Hara is a kleinekeit. Halavai if Mirgazak 12 minutes a day only. 12 minutes a day. It's all you spoke Lashon Hara. 12 minutes today. It's all. Don't. 1 minute of Lashon Hara. 1 word of Lashon Hara. What we poo poo. You know, Rabbi, 1 minute Lashon Hara, you know, it's pretty good. No, don't be cowed. It's very chomer to Hashem. It might be insignificant to you. The Rabbeinu Shalom is very significant. So he says, I'll give you a mashal to that. The mashal is, he says, the tznuas Hashem, as he says, the movement of the sun. You look in the sky, and you know, sometimes we're aware, most of us are, we're not even aware of the sun's motion, but sometimes, if you talk, relaxing, you can sometimes notice the sun's over there, and you're taking it a little relaxing, you sit around, you can see the sun moved out. So it looks, well, the sun moves, you know, I was looking through my window and the sun was like aligned with this bar in the window pane. And I looked a little later on, I see the sun was like in the next window, it's not even in this window anymore. So it looks like the sun moved about 3 feet. But you should know, the sun that moved 3 feet down here is actually millions of miles in Shemayim. And then he goes back to his favorite mushroom, the astrolabe. Because the astrolabe, not sure, the astrolabe was a very, very, I wouldn't say primitive, but one of the earlier, very rudimentary navigational tools that were invented in the medieval times for navigation. So he says, you use those, at the astrolabe, you look at your position vis-a-vis the stars, that's called astro, stars, and again, you brace yourself on the stars, you see how far away you went from a certain star, and you figure out where you are. So it looks like your ship maybe traveled a mile or two, but the fact is, because compared, the star just moved in Shemayim, the way your lines of the star, in the astrolabe, it's maybe really actually just maybe an inch or two difference on the alignment of the astrolabe, the way the thing is set up. But you know that 2 inches over there really equals many, many miles down here. So therefore he says the same thing with mitzvahs naveris. You did a little aveir, a little ashtar, looks like I just moved away from Hashem for a minute. I just forgot about Hashem for 1 minute. Well, 1 minute down here may be millions of light years clapping the Rabbeinu Shalom that you have become so remote and so estranged from the Rabbeinu Shalom that you can't even imagine. So he says the reason, so it's mamash the word again that every scientific and physical and biological and chemical phenomenon in the world, and every historical phenomenon, everything in the Olam HaGashmi, everything in the world down here is merely designed to be a mashal, a metaphor, an illustration of a much more exalted, sublime spiritual concept. So He said, the sun's motion, the Gavaldi Gazak, it looks like the sun just moved a few feet based on my windows, my vantage point. It moved millions of miles. It looks like it just moved away from Hashem just a little bit. I just turned away from Hashem a little bit. You don't know how much you turned away from Hashem. You think you just turned away from Hashem. You turned away incredibly. You don't even know what you did to yourself. You turned away, you were in the middle of learning, and in the middle of learning, you just got into a biddle tar, you spoke with your chavrus, and dvorm, betalim, vitalim, start cracking jokes for 5 minutes. In the middle of learning, you wasted 5 minutes. What are they doing? But I learned for an hour and a half. I only wasted 5 minutes. Big deal. So we got into a schmooze, we got into a conversation, so what? It looks like you just were away from Hashem and the Torah for 5 minutes. But klapi shmaya, this is light years. The Gemara says, gefer l'chazachim, the person has a Gemara open, and we start talking biddle tar, and we talk dvorm, betalim, even if it's not lashon hara, even if it's not nivel peh, if it's not like sonus, Rachman Islam, if it's just little tired, just what's the newest, the latest with the Yankees? What's going on in the world? What's the matzah of Nairzol describing the latest bomb? But it's little tired. You don't have to discuss it during learning. What happened? Wait till after you finish learning. You have to do it now. This is learning. This is time for learning. Who lives with a Zach Heshman? I just want to find the news. It's just 2 minutes. Who was it? The Panovich Yovis was learning Rebbe Chana Vassarin. A famous story, and they were learning the Kaila Kachem or the Chavetz Chaim. And, I thought it was a good zikar because my mind was not by the Kisei HaKavod. So I forget the stories. But whatever it was, I believe a telegram came in telling Rebbe Chana Vassarin, they were holding in the middle, I forgot the sugya, I think a chulin. They were learning a sugya in chulin. And a telegram came in that daughter was born to Rebbe Chana Vassarin. She was born in the telegram. And said, daughter is born to you. And Rebbe Chana says, maybe Mazel Tov, I'm not sure he said that much. And it went right back to learning, didn't blink an eyelid, as if nothing happened. The daughter is born, very nice, but what does it do with learning? I'm in the middle of learning over here. I'm not gonna hand out Mazel Tov cigarettes. And how's the middle of learning over here? I don't even think it's a Mazel Tov. So the Panovich was like, this is but no, I mean, that meant nothing. It meant, but I'm in the middle of learning. He can't mavat. There's no reason to mavat. There's not pikuach nefesh. It's not going well. Now it's learning. So we think that talking a little bit in the middle of nowhere is it's just a second. It's a little dray. But he says one little, what looks down here to be a inch in Shemayim is millions and millions of miles. So you gotta be very careful. So you never know. You just never know, he says. So therefore, a person, he says, that the v'chesh v'nefesh, every word we say, every look we look, every thought we think, that every al-kol neshima neshima, every breath we take, we have to have a v'chesh v'nefesh. But a person, Taka, who lives with v'chesh v'nefesh, he says, and his mind is busy cogitating and thinking and meditating about his chayvus to the Rebbeinu Shlom, the great thing is, the great news is, that he no longer has to worry about Olam Hazeh and all and its desires. So if I'm worried about polishing my neshama, I don't have to worry so much about polishing my furniture. I don't have to worry so much about polishing the windows. It's not dirty windows, but some people go bananas. They have a little dirty, some housewives, you know, you've seen them, I'm sure, you met them, that, you know, a little dirty window. And I personally happen that I don't like dirty windows, and I don't like any dirt. I'm very fastidious in certain things, very finicky. But as a vet elder, and there's so much to polish by the neshama, it's not important. I love to have this silver shining, I love to have everything just perfect. By nature, I'm a perfectionist. And I wouldn't want to have the crystal and a chandelier to be dusty. By nature, I notice every cobweb, I notice every stain, I notice every lint. By nature, I am so fastidious, it's incredible. I just can't help noticing it. I notice anything. Anything is not the same. I can go into a room in 3 seconds. I can see exactly what's not in order over here. And on my nature, I want to fix it up and organize every safer. I want to make sure every safer is color coded. By nature, I want to make sure that every safer is lined up perfectly, that it's all facing the front. By nature, I can mamish mekemishiga there. But I like that. It doesn't bother me. It's fun. But as Mevet Elter, and I have to spend my time being fastidious about my neshama and making sure my neshama is beseder. So I can't be worried about these things anymore. I just have my priorities. I just can't worry about all the swarm being perfect. I mean, Talmud Chacham can't be Talmud Chacham, but any yid should never evolve a big lift. I mean, you can't go around the stain. You can't have overtly sloppy avada. It's not shayach as azach. The Gemalta Gazach, I read about Rav Palm, Zechat Tzav, the Gevracha, that he was Makvid. He was European. He came to America, learned American. English is called, yeah. He learned English. He was Makvid to talk perfect English, perfect grammar, and to lose his European accent. Because he knows that people look down on people with accents. So he felt his gate derayin, a Talmud Chacham shouldn't have a vav al bigdoy. A Talmud Chacham shouldn't have anything inappropriate on his garment. Doesn't mean his garment only. He shouldn't have a flaw in his speech as well. If he speaks in a way that will not elicit respect, but fakir will elicit disrespect, he's a greener, he does not speak English properly. And today is not today. The whole country is foreigners. I mean, it's like to be a WASP today is like you're a minority, a threatened minority in America. But Amalek and Satan, English used to be the first language in this country. You know that? English used to be the first language, the English is the second language. Most people, today's the first language of the country is Pakistani. You speak as Pakistani? If you don't speak Pakistani and Vietnamese and Spanish, Avada, without Spanish, in Miami you can't get gas unless you speak Spanish. And I'm not joking, you're just not going to get a fill up. And you got Maram is like, mucho gaso, petro, muchos. You know, you don't speak Spanish, just forget about it. But Amalek and Satan, English, they spoke English in this country. My Shver, a friend of the Rav, was also so mocked when I was speaking proper English. He was so upset that he didn't speak English. That's a gate down Revav al Bigdoy. About that's important. But in general, Zag the Chayvus of the Vavis, that person who is worried about his Chayvus of the Rabbanish Dom will have no room in his mind for worries about Alam Hazah, worries about the Chemdus Alam Hazah. Oh, I didn't get myself this, I didn't get myself that. This person be Yismar Tzadik Badinoi Vechosa Boy. David Amelo says, until him, the Tzadik will rejoice in Hashem, he'll find protection in Hashem. Yismar Levavakshe Hashem. And as Yirmiyah Navi says, Al Yishala Lachochem Bechochmosoi, Al Yishala Lagiber Begvurosoi, Veosher Beoshroi, Kim Bezois Yishalel Mishalel Haskel Vyadoya. See, if the person is going to praise himself, praise that we know God, we have discovered the truth about Hashem. So Rabbi Isai, we're not finished yet. I will not be here next Sunday, Mr. Shem. I hope to be in London. But we'll be here 2 weeks with the Shem. And I'll give the Shir and Sanhedrin at 9:30 today.